If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Just like building any company, know your customer before you start on a project, right? Before you invest in a project or before you start building a project, like who's going to rent that or who's going to be your customer? And I think some of the most successful developers and investors that we've seen really know who they're building their projects for before they ever, you know, put pen to paper.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Hey, Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks, Sam.
Oh, this is great. This is great. If you can, just give us a quick bio on who it is that you are.
Yeah. So my name is Nicole Schmidt. I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Source. And I've been in commercial construction my whole career. I'm addicted to this industry. So I started out on the architect and design side. I went to design school in Chicago and worked at some really great firms and on hospitality projects and really had a lot of fun on the design side of this industry. And then about halfway through my career, I switched over to manufacturer side. So I became a distributor. I worked at distributors. I worked doing business development, marketing, sales for various companies. And actually the last company before I started Source was kind of where I got the idea for the company. And I was in a design library. So I don't know if you've, Sam, I don't know if you're familiar with, materials libraries.
I am.
Yes. So I'm in a materials library. I was a sales rep at the time and was updating my, I was a stone rep. So updating my box of stone and slipped on, I will say they maybe had a little bit of a messy library. And so I slipped on some things and dropped my box of rocks on my head. And I was like 6 months pregnant at the time. And I know we're keeping it PG. So I'll just say I had expletives that came out of my mouth. I know I was just like, very frustrated. And I took that frustration and really started digging into how people make decisions in this industry about the products that are going in buildings and really went down a fascinating rabbit hole and just really decided that this industry, didn't really have one central source, pun totally intended that time, that people could go to find products for commercial construction projects. So I actually got to learning some code and built the first version of our platform myself. And then from there, we have scaled the platform a lot. Our software engineers, I'm not allowed anywhere near it anymore. The great team that manages that. And we've built the platform to about, it's across the US in all 50 states. And we have a couple hundred thousand products and millions of data points. And we're just really excited to be, continuing to be a part of this really, really vibrant industry.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's super cool. That is super cool. I'm fascinated by how decisions or how build outs on things like this occur. You have this idea, you see this need, but then, just for anybody who's starting a business, help us walk through the steps you took to go from, hey, I got this great concept for a company to now I have something that's viable.
Yeah. I have lots of things I did right and lots of things I did wrong. So let's start with the things I did right. We can dive into the wrong if you want as well.
Sure.
So, I talk to my customers. That's the thing you can always do right. Is talk to the people, understand your customer, whether it's in real estate, knowing who your end user is going to be, or, with software, knowing who your client or customer is going to be, just really started digging into what were those pain points that people had as they were selecting products and built out solutions for those and, tried a lot of different things. I mean, especially as a startup and a small tech startup, you have to be really flexible and not be scared to try things. I remember hearing, I was at, some conference and somebody said, it's always okay to fail unless that's all you do, right? So try things. If they don't work, stop doing them. If they do work, keep doing them. And so we did a lot of that in the early days with our customers as we built the platform, really just dove into exactly what, you need to be connected with your rep so you can get that technical expertise. All right, well, let's build that side of the platform out. You need product information. You need spec sheets. You need maintenance manuals. You need installation guides. Let's build spaces for that to live on the platform. You need physical samples. Let's find a way to get you that physical sample. So it's a lot of just, you know, we started here in Portland with a physical space that all the architect and design firms shared, and then the digital platform. We've scaled the digital platform across the US, and we're in the process of scaling our shared libraries as well. So
that's super cool. So who is your ideal client right now?
Yeah. So for us, we work a lot with architects and designers. We also work with owners groups as well. So we have some, you know, large chain stores that, you know, names you would recognize. We have, you know, just lots of ownership groups. We have real estate investors, property developers, really anybody who's a decision maker on what products are going into a building is our core market. So we do focus just on, you know, commercial construction. So kind of any place that you go to outside of your house that's, you know, outside of a single family home, I would say, is in the realm of what we do.
Right, right. I think the thing that you said was interesting earlier. You said that basically your business is anything that you can, you know, touch and feel inside a building.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So if you can see it or touch it when the building is done, you can, we have product experts or products on the catalog that can help you find the right solution for your project. And, you know, we can't help you find the perfect rebar, but we can help you find, you know, the perfect finish for the polished concrete.
Right, right. Which I think that's interesting. You know, as you get into these buildings, and even when I travel, like, you know, you get into a hotel and you see this very peculiar light fixture, you see this weird desk or something else, and you're like, this is not something, this doesn't come from IKEA. Like, somebody made some very intentional decisions around these product lines because they're buying 500 of them at a time.
Yeah.
And you go, how does that get to this space?
How do you source it?
Exactly. It's people like you that bring that to the table, and then architects select it and then it gets put in. But I also wonder on like large scale multifamily, you know, even renovations. Do people come to you and say, all right, look, I own 30 properties. It's, you know, 5,000 doors and or whatever it is. Or maybe it's just one unit, it's 300 units, and we're renovating all of them.
Yeah.
Is that the type of stuff that people approach you about?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really depends on if they have, you know, internal design teams that are doing that. We have some property management companies and some developers that have internal design teams, so they'll do it. You know, we work with this group here out of Portland that does properties all around the country, and they'll submit a request and say, hey, this is what we're looking for. You know, like, we need tile for a recent one that came through was we're looking for tile for all of the bathrooms. We're renovating all the bathrooms. And so we have a tight budget, you know, tight lead times. We have all the things. And so
I want it yesterday. I want it cheap.
And I do, right? And it's the reality of construction. It's the reality that we deal with. So, you know, then we are able to leverage our human experts, our product database of 25 million data points, our rep experts around the country that's in a huge database that we've built out to send these requests and really just streamline it into, for that designer, what could have been, you know, weeks of work or days of work is now just, you know, one request, couple minutes, they send it, we push a bunch of options back to them. And if they work, great. If not, we'll do it again. So.
Wow, that's really cool. You know, I feel like when you go into the paint store, you walk in and they have those cool little brochures that you flip open, and it's got like all the matching colors that go with it. And it's like, oh, that house looks amazing, because I can't pick that out. Like, I can barely get my shoes tied, which is why I wear boots, because I don't have to tie my shoes. And so
there
it's like,
easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I just too complicated. But I feel like that's what you're doing for the commercial construction space. You're handing everybody this card with like, hey, here's all your matching paint schemes of the 10,000 colors that Sherwin-Williams has in the store, and says, these go together. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. It really depends on how each person works, right? So we do get people that are like, here's a picture, here's a palette of what I'm looking for.
Right.
Can you just send me a bunch of options and we'll take care of that for them? Or we'll get somebody that says, like, I have a very exact picture in my mind of what I want to do, but there's this one hole that I can't find. This one product that, like, I just, can you help me find this one piece? So we kind of do everything across the spectrum there.
Right, right. That's fascinating. So what are some key industry problems that you are solving with what you're doing?
One of the key problems is around data. You know, a lot of the data and information for these products has typically lived like on a rep's iPad or in a paper catalog, or, you know, it's just hard to find. And so as boring as data can sound, we get really excited and nerdy about it. So you know, when we ingest a product catalog from a manufacturer, we ingest hundreds of data points around each product. And so then we're able to, you know, match things really exact. So if somebody says, you know, I'm looking for something that's like this, but $2 cheaper, we can find that within seconds to be able to say, sure, yeah, looks like there's six other options out there for you that hit these exact data points. And so that's one that's a huge problem that is, you know, sort of the non-sexy side of data that gets you to decisions much, much faster.
Yeah, now that's something I wouldn't have thought about. That's absolutely brilliant. So you guys have a proprietary system that can ingest all that data and then spit it back out in a very meaningful and fast fashion.
Yeah. And we're in design. It has to be visual and beautiful when it comes back to you. Right. So yeah, we have high res images on there, spec sheets, all of that information. So you can, you know, do those client presentations, or if it's, you're a property manager, do those renderings to be able to sell those units, whatever that is, that there's, you're just coming back to one source for all of the pieces of information you need to make those decisions.
Right. That's super cool. Super cool. Is there anything else on that front that you see that are major industry kind of hurdles that you guys are helping to solve?
You know, I think one of the other pieces as well is on the sustainability piece. I get very nerdy about this piece as well, but you know, construction is a huge contributor to carbon emissions, to landfill waste. You know, it's, buildings are 40% of carbon emissions. You know, 400 million tons of landfill waste every year in the US just from construction. And if you've ever been on a construction site, like, it kind of makes sense, right? Like, there's a lot of trash that we produce.
Yeah. A lot. Yeah. I just renovated two homes, like my house and the house next door to me. One's my office and one's my house. I just renovated both of them. And I had 2 30-yard dumpsters for each house. And these are small renovations. And you go, good grief. Like, this is a lot of freaking trash.
Yeah, exactly.
So talk to us about your sustainability.
Yeah. So we're able to ingest those data points, we work with the manufacturers if they have like third-party certificates. So maybe they have a declare label that says they have, you know, they have red list free. So they have this special list of chemicals that they don't have in their products, or they have Green Guard Gold certificates or a cradle to cradle. So you can search and filter by those sustainability credentials as well. And then we also get the opportunity to work with some really fascinating sort of cutting edge brands. There's this one company that we work with that actually mills all of their wood. It's a sort of a new kind of particle board that they mill from construction waste. So they take all the like 2x4s and all the construction wood waste and send it through their systems that pull out all the nails and screws and all of that. They mill it down and then, you know, they turn it all into fibers and then turn it into particle board. And so, you know, we also can have really unique materials on the platform that maybe somebody wouldn't be able to find otherwise. So,
right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And it's stuff like that, that I think makes a big difference. I mean, if you don't even care about maybe, you know, carbon emissions and things like that, you typically care about your own health even. And so when you get into recycled, reused products like that, that's something that I think is super cool. One, because you are cutting down waste. There's no point in throwing stuff out. Secondly, you're making a cleaner indoor space.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right. Is it means something unique to everybody. Maybe it is about wellness. So you can filter by, I don't want products that have these chemicals in it. You can filter by that on our site. So.
Right. And that's super cool, because otherwise you could spend hours just plugging through the internet going, gosh, is this formaldehyde free? What sort of, you know, weird carbon emissions does this have? Or, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the strange labels I've read and I can't come up with any weird names, but there's some products with some really long names that you're like, I probably want to avoid that.
So, I think I don't want that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Talk to us maybe in the last 12 months, what have you seen as far as, you know, obviously commodities prices have been going through the roof. Yeah. What have you seen for materials availability?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, supply chains all over the world are, you know, turned upside down the last 12 months. And so I think we've seen a lot of requests internally that are like, hey, we have this material spec. You know, quartz is a very specific example that I can give. We had this Chinese quartz spec or, you know, coming from overseas, and we need something that is reliable and, you know, we need it now. So can you find us something that's made domestically? So we've seen a lot of just made in the USA, just lead times in general becoming a really big factor. More so, I mean, lead times are always a big factor, but price is like the big focus. And I would say that if they're not on par, they're very close now, that lead times are as important to people as price, because it's hard to build your project if you don't have materials. Doesn't matter what they cost if they're not there.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's, you can sell it for anything you want, but if you can't actually take possession of it, what's it matter?
Exactly.
Right. That's really fascinating. Okay, cool. So have you seen some shift to some different product lines then, maybe, that would have not been something you would have ordinarily seen selling in a maybe a positive way?
Yeah, I also think we've seen a shift to, you know, more tactile types of products. So, you know, we've all been home for the most part for the last 12 or so months. And I think as we think about going back into commercial spaces, we've seen a large push towards making those commercial spaces feel clean and safe and comfortable. So we're seeing a lot of really innovative, like there's some innovative fabrics out now that look, you know, sort of like that warm, fuzzy wool, but they're bleach cleanable, you know, so things like that, that we're seeing. Just as the mindset and psychology of us as consumers changes, you know, that we really want to feel safe. Safety is going to be a big piece as we move back into public spaces. But also, we spent a year at home, you know, I'm maybe speaking for myself, you know, cuddled up in our warmest, fuzziest blanket half the day. And right. So how do we translate those spaces and those materials into something that can actually, you know, function and be cleaned with bleach, or, you know, propose in areas where they might not have been. And it's through new materials that are coming out.
Right. Oh, that's super cool. That's super cool. I have thoroughly enjoyed learning. I mean, there's always something new to be learned every day, and you guys fill a niche that I probably would not have thought about otherwise. So this has been fascinating and certainly very insightful. Let's jump here into the final four if we can, Nicole. We're going to keep this real estate related, but kind of maybe twist it to your industry specific niche. So what is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
I would say, you know, just like building any company, know your customer before you start on a project, right? Before you invest in a project or before you start building a project, like who's going to rent that, or who's going to be your customer? And I think some of the most successful developers and investors that we've seen really know who they're building their projects for before they ever, you know, put pen to paper.
Right, right. And you would be an integral part of that equation, I would imagine, in determining who their customer is going to be. You're going to help them pick the right materials for that project. So that's super cool. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
I read a lot. I enjoy learning a lot. So I read a lot, and I make sure and take time for myself. I have two little ones, a six-year-old and a four-year-old. And, you know, sometimes just 30 minutes to myself working out or reading a book, whatever that is, like self-care. I think if I've learned anything this last year, it's that you take care of yourself and everything else as well, but self first.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
I really believe in the power of community. And so, you know, I love giving back to the community, whether that's like volunteering with local associations, or, you know, I my team always gives me a hard time because anytime somebody asks, like, hey, can we get donations for this? Or can we ever, like, yeah, we can make that happen. You know, we've got tons of extra carpet for the church basement or whatever it is. So I think just, you know, building community, helping people out, those small things can go a long way.
Right, right. No, that's awesome. Nicole, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Best way to do that is go to our website, tothesource.com, T-O-T-H-E, source.com. And our contact information is on there, and they can sign up for a free account, and we'll be excited to connect with them.
Awesome. Nicole, thanks so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.